Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
This week and every week, we start the show with a tip of the week. Then our low-tech item will be about accessibility features for laundry and kitchen appliances. Well, our focus item will be talking about another source of accessible reading material, and this week it'll be Bookshare. And the high-tech item will be about Skype and how to record Skype phone calls. So the tip of the week this week is that you too can get a handicap parking permit, even if you don't drive, even if your disability is a visual impairment.
That's scary.
It is.
You have to explain that.
Well, you got a handicap parking permit because one time, years and years ago, you didn't have one and could have made good use of it.
Well, that's true. And that's how we first figured out about handicapped parking permits. I have never driven a car in my life, never wanted to, although I've had several offers to do that. But anyways, I was out one day with a friend of mine, and he was going to take me to the store to get my watch repaired. And we were looking for a parking place along the street and couldn't find a parking place. And I couldn't just hop out of the car because I didn't know where the store was. And he couldn't leave without me and, you know, double park or something, or didn't know what I needed done with my watch and all. And he came across a handicapped parking spot. So we figured, well, you know, Pete's handicapped and let's park there. So we did our business in the watch store. Sure enough, we came out and there was a ticket on the car.
Because the police officer had been doing his or her job and protecting the people who need these spaces, or protecting the space for people who really need these spaces, and didn't know, because there was no sticker on the car, that this was a legitimate use.
But we did have our day in court, and the judge explained to us that if we got a parking permit for being blind, he would not give us the ticket. We wouldn't have to pay for the ticket. So ever since then, we've had a handicapped parking permit.
So the one we have is one of these plastic ones that hangs from the rearview mirror. And to get one of those, you go to your local town. We live in the town of Penfield, so we went to Penfield Down Hall with a note from the doctor saying that Pete was permanently blind, and then you get a blue one in New York State. If it's temporary, so I don't know, maybe you've had some sort of eye surgery and you can't see well for a month or two, you can get a red one. If you want to get the kind where they put the handicap symbol on your license plate, in New York State, you have to go to the state DMV. And you can download the form from their website, which is www.nydmv, for the New York Department of Motor Vehicles, .state.ny.us/forms. And the form is MV, for motor vehicle, 400ph.pdf. But you can navigate there. It's a lot easier than writing all of that down. Now, the interesting thing is they'll give you that plate, but you have to be the owner of the car. The car has to be registered in your name. You don't have to be the driver in order to make use of the handicapped permit. So, like, Pete's never the driver, but we only use it where his visual impairment is actually the reason why we're parking in one of those spots.
Yeah, we try not to use it just to get a closer spot to park just because we don't want to walk or it's raining or something. We tend not to use it. We tend to use it just if it's an issue that, because I'm blind, we needed a spot, like someone couldn't wait in the car or something.
Pete even got a parking space at work. He managed to get an assigned spot. His first boss suggested it kind of as a joke, and when he put down impairment, he said blind and figured, oh, these people in security are going to get a good chuckle. But they took it seriously. They gave him an assigned parking spot. Now, Pete can walk and hike for miles on end, but, you know, getting through a crowded parking lot is tricky with all of the rearview mirrors. And, you know, it's not so fun playing pinball with the rearview mirrors.
Right. So we used that parking spot for the carpool, and whoever drove that day got to park there.
To Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll be talking about accessibility features for laundry and kitchen appliances. We mentioned in an earlier show that we buy everything for the buttons. And although we always manage to find commercially available appliances or whatever, you know, musical equipment, televisions that we can modify to make them accessible, it turns out there are also some appliances that already have some built-in accessibility features, and we figured this was a good place to thank some of these companies for making life a little bit easier for the visually impaired. The American Foundation for the Blind recently had a feature article in an issue of Access World that came out in January of 2011. And I'd like to start by reading some of the general tips that they included in that article. Tip number one, identifying and relying on a knowledgeable sales professional is perhaps the single most important factor in ending up with appliances you enjoy using. And let me tell you, that's really the truth. And they go on to elaborate that if you get a salesperson who doesn't seem to understand your issues and isn't being very helpful, you can just ask for another one. And I think that's a good idea. Tip number two, of course, is to make sure you tell the salesperson clearly what your needs and expectations are. So we just had occasion to buy all new appliances because our dishwasher was leaking. And we went into the appliance stores and explained, you know, we need these kinds of buttons because he can't see. And they were, at each store we went to, the salespeople were terrific. The next tip that the AFB gives is that if you can ensure that the store or online retailer has a 100% money-back guarantee policy, that's imperative in case you get a machine that doesn't work for you. You don't want to go spending $1,000 or $2,000 on an appliance and get it home, get it installed, and discover that you can't run the thing. So if you can get a good return policy, that's worth a lot. And then a couple of observations of our own. Check out the handles, not just the buttons. The buttons are important, but you know, some of the older style handles have sharp corners and
they hurt.
Right. But some of the new appliances, they've got these really slick arced handles. We don't expect them to hurt as much.
Right. Some also stick out more than others.
That's right. Some of them stick out quite a ways. So, you know, that's another consideration. Another observation that we made is that although you can add Braille or raised marks to almost anything, you can't add them to everything. So you better check out the control panel. And in particular, some of the buttons have, they're just touch sensitive, so you don't know whether you touched it or not. Whereas some of them, when you press it, you can actually feel it depressing.
Right. And it depends on what you're used to when you use those things. So, for example, some of our appliances have those little buttons that when you press them, Nancy says you can feel them detent, and we put little Braille above it. And some of them just have a place where you're supposed to touch. So we put the Braille in such a spot that I know I'm supposed to press right underneath that Braille. Even though I don't feel any feedback, I just have some confidence that something's happening.
So just another comment. We replaced the dishwasher. This is a wonderful thing. It no longer leaks. Turns out the new one is so quiet, even if you did push the right buttons, it's hard to know whether you did or not because you may not hear it when it gets started.
Right. You tell everybody in the kitchen, shh, I want to hear if this is starting.
So another issue we ran into, we did not replace our cooktop, but we did maybe 8 or 10 years ago. That's why we kept it. But these modern cooktops, especially the ones that are the glass surface, there's no way of knowing where the individual burners are. And even some of the gas grills, it's hard to find the individual burners. So make sure you feel it at the store when it's not hot and see if you can tell which burner is where. Another tip that they provided was that it's very difficult to hook up a dryer at the store. But pretty much they have the same control panel as the matching washing machine. So check out the washing machine carefully if you're thinking about buying a dryer.
Yeah. I mean, also you'll see that certain appliances in their knobs, they may have detents for different positions. So our cooktop, for example, has a little detent for the low flame and the high flame. And some others are just continuous and you really can't tell what point you're at.
And just to finish up and let you know that... The AFB article basically gave their best marks to Whirlpool. They said they've got very easy to feel bubble-like controls, texturized touchpads, separate tones on the washer and dryer so you can tell what you've done.
Oh, a singing washing machine. I like that.
There you go. Not every manufacturer has been quite as good as Whirlpool was, you know, just to let you know.
You are listening to Viewpoints.
This week's focus topic is a great source of accessible reading material, and we'll be highlighting a different one of these approximately every 5 weeks. This is, believe it or not, our 11th show, so it's our third source of accessible reading material. Just as an overview, we'd like to review some sources of accessible reading material. The first bunch are available to anybody. You don't need to be certified print impaired to be eligible. Obviously, you can have a friend or a relative read or record material. You can go to the public library where they have all manner of audio material, CDs, tapes, MP3 books, downloadable books. Bookstores have audio books these days, audible.com, the internet. You can get all manner of reading material there. If somebody tries to hand you something in print, ask them to email it to you, because then you'll be able to access it on your computer. Project Gutenberg, where they've scanned in all sorts of books, there's e-books that you can read on the Kindle, the Nook, the Sony, the iPad, etc., and of course cell phone applications. And then there are some specialized sources of accessible reading material that are intended for and available only to people with certified print impairments. Obviously, radio reading services like Reach Out Radio that you're hearing this over. In our first show, we talked about the Library of Congress National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. We talked about the National Braille Press. There's also the NFB Newsline, Recordings for the Blind and Dyslexic, RFBND. There are various agencies for the blind or print impaired where you can get accessible reading material. And this week, we'll be talking about Bookshare.
Bookshare is a really tremendous service. I forget when it first came out, probably, I don't know, 5-7 years ago or so. But this made a tremendous change or in what was available to me to read, how easy it was for me to get material that I could read, and was a great service.
It pretty much changed Pete's reading life.
You want to talk about the mission of
sure,
what they consider their mission to be?
So we, of course, went to their website, which, as you may imagine, is very accessible, very nicely laid out, www.bookshare.org. So it's all one word, B-O-O-K-S-H-A-R-E. And the mission of Bookshare is the following. People with print disabilities deserve to enjoy reading as much as all other readers. Yet currently fewer than 5% of the books needed by people with print disabilities are available in accessible formats such as digital text or digital braille. Bookshare's goal is to raise the floor of access so that people with print disabilities can obtain a broad spectrum of print materials at the same time as everyone else. Okay, so let me tell you a little bit of the history of Bookshare. This guy, Jim Fruchterman, is the founder and CEO of Benetech, which is the company that provides Bookshare. He was a technology entrepreneur, a former rocket scientist who previously founded two of the foremost optical character recognition companies, including Arkenstone. Benetech, the company that runs Bookshare, grew out of Jim Fruchterman's early work with reading machines for the blind. Arkenstone became the world leader in reading machines when their business assets were later sold to Freedom Scientific. The resulting capital was used to start new projects under the name Benetech. Bookshare is their first project, and it focuses on the challenge of access to reading materials for people with print disabilities.
So it was really kind of interesting that he took this very successful company and then took the profits from it and wanted to turn that back into doing something socially, you know, very good, advantageous for the blind and all. And this was actually facilitated by the change in the copyright laws in the late 90s that said it was okay to take material in one format and change it to another format if it was for someone with a vision or print impairment. And so what was happening before this, many blind people had been using their scanners and OCR systems to read their reading material at home. And they would scan in their books or documents, and they would just read it with a speech synthesizer on their own personal computers, but they couldn't share this information. So essentially what Bookshare said was, now that the copyright laws have changed, you're allowed to share this information. So they essentially put up a website where people could upload the files and books that they had scanned in, and then if someone was a member of Bookshare, you could download those books that someone else had already scanned in and didn't have to do all the work all over again yourself. Since then, they have gotten many grants and donations to help this process, and the publishers have bought into the process. So many publishers now are actually giving their books directly to Bookshare in an electronic format, as well as folks are still scanning in books and giving them to Bookshare.
So you say they got a grant from somebody that every month they're able to put up the bestsellers on the New York Times bestseller list?
Yeah, I think that happened over the past 2 or 3 years. So many of the New York Times, I think the top 10 or 20 New York Times bestsellers from each month are automatically put onto Bookshare. So there's a great source of immediate material, very up-to-date material. Sometimes when you get material, for instance, from the Library of Congress, they have to have people record these things, and so they have to first identify what needs to be recorded, they have to find someone to do it, they have to do the recording, they have to publish it and edit it, and it could take some amount of time. But Bookshare things were immediately available. In addition to books like this, they've also partnered with publishers to make some textbooks available for students and professionals. They've partnered with the National Federation for the Blind to make many magazines and local newspapers available. And it's as easy as just going to the Bookshare site, finding what you want to download by searching for it, either by category or through a search field, and then just downloading it and reading it on one of your favorite reading devices.
And you can get these books any time of the day or night, 24/7.
Right. And as many books as you want. There's a nominal fee of maybe $50 a year or something like that to be a member, so it's not expensive. You do have to be certifiably print impaired, so you need some note from a doctor or some professional to say that there's a special circumstance in order to join. And you also have to be a member of the U.S. I don't think this is available outside the U.S. because of the copyright restrictions. In addition, reading these materials, so some people don't have portable reading devices that they can download their books to where you can read these, but being a member of Bookshare, you're also able to download special programs that work on your computer that enable you to read this material through a built-in speech synthesizer. So all that is provided. They provide many different ways of reading their books.
And one other neat feature is, you know, oftentimes I'll be reading a book and they name some character, and 100 pages later they name the same character. I'm like, who on earth was this? And, you know, sometimes I go leafing back through trying to figure out, refresh my memory, who this character was. Well, because these are all digital, you can search for words or phrases or whatever. And so Pete's got an advantage there, where if he forgets who some character is, he just types in the text string and queries it and goes to the first time that that character appeared, and all of a sudden he's got his memory refreshed.
Right. Yeah, I should also note that because they are available in several different formats, the downloads from Bookshare, you can download all of their books in DAISY format, which we've talked about in previous shows, but basically that means you can navigate by page and by section very easy digitally. And they're also available in an electronic Braille format. So if you have a refreshable Braille display, you can download these things in grade 2 Braille and read your documents that way. So Bookshare has been a great resource to me. Since I've joined 3 or 4 years ago, I've read well over 200 books from Bookshare.
And, you know, if you like this service, they obviously provide the opportunity where you can donate, which we finally fished in for because we realized how much use Pete was making out of it. But there are also all sorts of volunteer opportunities if you or a friend or a relative wants to get involved in something that's worthwhile, because they've really been a fabulous, fabulous source of accessible reading material to many, many people, not just Pete.
Right. And some of their volunteer opportunities can include scanning in the books or proofreading some of the books, because OCR isn't 100% perfect these days, and sometimes there are mistakes or there's formatting issues. So there are many opportunities to join Bookshare and participate in Bookshare.
Now for this week's high-tech item, Skype and the Skype MP3 recorder. We love Skype. Now, we're a little geeky. Partly we love it because it's free. I mean, how can you knock that? Partly we love it because it's really cool. Partly because it's high-tech. But, you know, mostly all of that stuff wouldn't matter if it didn't work well, but it works great. And we use it for staying in touch with our out-of-town friends and family, but we know other people who use it for work-related conversations. We have friends who have children on other continents or parents on other continents, and they're able to make free or low-cost telephone calls, either just audio or audio with video, and stay in touch, and the fidelity's fantastic.
So there's actually several ways of using Skype. You can use it for free to call from a computer to another computer, and that's totally free anywhere around the world, and people just have to have an internet connection. Or for just several cents a minute, depending on where you're calling in the world, you can call from your computer to an actual phone someplace and use Skype that way. Of course, in that case, you don't get the video capabilities. But let's talk a little bit about what you need to run Skype. First of all, you obviously need a computer to do this. You need an internet connection because these signals have to go someplace. You need the Skype software, which you can download from their homepage at www.skype.com. That's SKYPE.com. So if you download the software for your particular kind of computer or device, you'll have that. So also, you need at least a microphone to do the audio part. Or if you get one of these webcams for anywhere from $20 to $50 or $70, depending on what kind of features you want, the webcams have a built-in microphone, and in that way you can get both the audio and the video when you're talking to someone else.
And the modern laptops and notebooks all come with a built-in webcam.
Yes, so you don't almost even, all of them.
Right, yep. You don't even have to buy a separate webcam if you'd rather go spend 10 times as much and buy a computer.
Right. And then, of course, you need a person on the other end who either has a phone or is connected to a computer so you can talk to these people. The new versions of Skype actually allow video and audio conferencing, so you can actually talk to several people and see several people at one time, again, all for free. We've set up a number of, not only do we talk to our kids this way who are in different parts of the country, but we've set up a number of friends who are older and they can enjoy watching their grandchildren grow up across the country or on a different continent, as Nancy pointed out, and they can interact with the grandchildren this way, watch them eating dinner. In fact, last time we traveled out to Colorado, we took our little netbook with the built-in camera and microphone in it, and we put it on top of the kitchen counter as we were making dinner and chatting with my mom, who was on the other side of the country in New York.
And actually, that's another benefit of using it. You know, Pete's mom is older, she's in her mid-80s, and her hearing isn't so good, but if she can see our faces, that helps her understand what we're saying. And also, in particular, she doesn't know how to run the computer, but her daughter does, and so her daughter will open up the computer, you know, Pete's sister, and we'll talk to both of them, and then Barb will be there to help interpret whatever's been going on for Pete's mom, and it's much more successful than just a regular telephone call.
Or our daughter, for example, has been redecorating her new house, and she can just walk around her computer and just walk us around the house and chat with us as we're doing it. So it's really kind of nice to be able to see these things real time.
Right. Our son lives in the mountains of Colorado, and they've got miserable cell phone reception. Of course, he doesn't have a landline because he's in his 20s. And so we Skype with him all the time because we get much better reception than over the telephone.
So another interesting thing that we wanted to talk about this week. Last week, we did a show on dating and being visually impaired, and we recorded many parts of that using a Skype call. We Skyped a friend of ours across the country, and we used a program called MP3 Skype Recorder, which runs in the background. You can download on your computer, and it automatically records the audio of any Skype call. So it was handy for that situation if you want to record your Skype calls.
And the URL for that, the web address, is voipcallrecording, all one word, .com. So that's VOIP is voice over IP, which is Internet Protocol. VOIPcallrecording.com. And you can even record your conversations for posterity if you, for some reason, want to do that.
Right. So if you install this program, it'll ask you, do you want to start recording every time you start a Skype call? Or you can turn on the recordings manually, and then it will save the recordings as an MP3 file in whatever folder on your computer you specify. And so that can be handy for some purposes, and in particular for this show.
Right. Recording it was a piece of cake. Then we had to edit it down. For this 5-minute section, I think we spent a few hours
editing. No, the editing was tricky. But we used a program called Audacity, which we also spoke about several weeks ago, and maybe in the future we'll talk more about.
That's it for this week's show. Next week on Viewpoints, our theme will be education, including an interview with a real expert, a current student, about how what it's like getting through school with a visual impairment. Also talking about what kind of accessibility services are available at schools, colleges, universities, and public libraries, and some interesting research tools you can use. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to reachout@wxxi.org or call us at 585-258-0333. We'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. This program was hosted by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show by going to our website at wxxi.org/reachout and clicking on the podcast's link. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.